As obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, since it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. Peter 1:14-16. Good morning. The reference of holiness and today being Holy Thursday, what a very good relevance in finding the body, the soul, the blood, the spirit within us. And some of them take the material form. It can be possessive. My spirit, my blood, you can actually give it, right? We do Red Cross. We think along those lines, but it moves within you when every entity directly relates back to him and how he is risen and risen within us. If he was only risen, and it was third person, or it was on the outside, and we seen it, and we knew about it, and we heard it, but we witnessed this magnificent grace, if you would. Multitudes of nations were touched and blessed, but we never seen it happening. We would quite wonder where or how it directly applies to us. We're still given that opportunity. We can say yay, we can say no, redeemed or condemned, heaven or hell, very good. But to see it within our body, and the soul, very good, the Holy Spirit, right, the enactment, and the blood that pumps within our veins, the reason why we are alive. I would add breath to this. This is the way that I think, right? The breath enters your lungs, Genesis, when you're first born. He put breath within your lungs. I think along those lines, and this is how we are redeemed, and this is what he has given to us. How thankful we are for Good Friday and the true tale of moving up to Easter here, and how the enactment of Christ, and through his salvation, through his blood, we are redeemed and we are saved. I think it's magnificent, it's marvelous, it's more than we could ever imagine. But that possessiveness can't limit you. It can't be the restriction, and it can't be the foundation. And what do I mean by the foundation? Are you not standing on the solid foundation of Christ, your Savior and Redeemer? Not to be shooken, to be bitter, nor bitten. I stand firm, I stand tall. I stand loud and proud, well, very good. I'm giving it back to him, yes, of course. And when you don't, When you're standing in the shadows, when the foundation, the ground that you're standing on starts shaking and it gives away, you're sinking down in the ground, as to dust we shall return. Who are you standing with? Who are you embracing? And who is the one that's keeping you alive within that mindset? 1 Corinthians 6:20, for you were bought with a price, so glorify God in your body. We wonder what that is, right? We think about biblical times, right? We think about gold, silver, shackles and chains and what we were bartering, what we were wagering. But what is the greatest price of earth? What is the greatest price of eternity? To be alive, to be dead? Afterlife is life, though. So I seek life, so I seek God, and I choose to be happy within that enactment? Are there individuals that seek not to be happy? And if they don't seek not to be happy, it doesn't include life? What does it include? It could be a form of death, right? Busy being happy or busy not being happy? Or is this something like old school wisdom, a sense of knowledge, reprimandation of the acceptance of social assertion? You're either busy living or you're busy dying? Jeez, that sounds extreme. What about me? What about me? Don't we all feel that way? What about me? I'm just a humble servant. I do my very, very best each and every day to make sure that I'm appeasing to him in thought, word, and deed, heart, soul, mind, body, and spirit. The body, soul, blood, spirit, all of the above, a little bit of breath, yeah, sure, very good. Is the souls of purgatory? Is it derogatory? Does it require consent from creature? Or is God looking down at you and saying your soul is in purgatory? Can we separate the two? Can the soul make it to heaven and the body doesn't? Can we escape one another? Some trivial aspect of the check and balance? Holy, defined, unsateful, grateful, hell? Sin, wickedness, death? And does it happen that way? Is it apprehendable logically? I'm not quite sure. That's very good. Or that's very, very good. But we should not and we shall not think along those lines. 1 Corinthians 6:19. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You're not of your own. My goodness. I wonder how I talk to that person, by the way. On the outside looking in, right? I have this gift. It's been given to me. My Savior, my Creator gave it to me. Because of him, I am forgiven. I am redeemed. I don't have anything to worry about. What is the reference to holy when you hear about it? When you hear the word holy, what do you think? Holier than thou? But what does holy actually mean? Can you still be holy if you're wearing a pair of jeans that have holes in them? That's a good reference, isn't it? Can you still be holy if your life is tarnished and you have lashings? You have scars? You've been bittered, you've been bitten. Well, yes, of course. How could you have ever learned if you weren't? And how about the snares that we catch ourselves in daily, the emotional attachment to the physical inclination of the flesh? Oh, Lord, forgive me. I try not to let the tongue lead me astray. This is the Holy Spirit there somewhere. Is it relevant, though? And is it finding me or am I finding it? And where is the confinement? Where is the counsel? Where's the good nature, the good news? Where's the forgiveness, the redemption? Because of him. Because of him. Do I have to fall? Is it okay? Did you really wish to see me fall? I've gotten at a good point with my Creator, my Savior, my Redeemer. Well, excuse me. I wanted to love you. Is that a problem? Can we love one another? Think about what I'm saying. Why the limitations in any enactment, in any theory, reason, or actual walk of discipline and degree? Implementation of your theories, right? Because it's only a theory. It's absolutely worthless. Philosophical advantage? In what way, shape, or form? Where's the relevance? Do you have laboring of this? Have you actually tried it? Is it tried and true, weathered? It's beyond policy and principle. Infrastructure that creates restrictions cannot be defined as being God. I'm reminded, I read the Bible, God is love. I think about that. And I don't see any restrictions or limitations. It knows no limits, no boundaries. It's not selfish. It goes on and on and on. Multiple references to love all throughout the story. What's a building of eternity, the afterlife, glorification, tried and true. And the gates are opening. We like that. I like that. So how come is it that I stumble and I shall fall? And if I shall, how come you condemn me? Wouldn't you want to praise me? Every time there's an enactment of bondage, of sin and wickedness, of death, is it not worthy of praise? Will you praise, he is risen indeed, hallelujah. Will you proclaim, you rejoice, you give thanks. You're very, 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 very capable and competent of praising the iniquity. If it weren't for that loss, well, you wouldn't be alive. You wouldn't be forgiven. You wouldn't be redeemed. So how shall I live in this world then? What's my assertion? Right? And I'm sharpening. I'm carving. I've got a stick and I'm whittling away at it. I'm carving it. I'm sharpening it on up. I'm getting it ready for that fine point. I'm sharpening it on up. So where's my assertion though? Shall I not be capable? Shall I not be able? What about me? What about me? And I think that's where we get to. We live in this world. We love who we are. We love the life that we've been given. And in some cases, we're bittered. We're battered. We've been bitten. We've been struck. Some of us strike oil. Some strike gold. I've seen worse. Forgive me. But we are capable. We are competent. And we advance. We advance within that mindset, within that mentality. I'm no longer bitten. I am saved. I am redeemed. We declare it. In some cases, it's the only reference that we have. And by the way, are the things that we're referencing to ourselves or we're referencing to other, is that all we have to offer? Do you think it's a direct reflection of the soul? Because we're not on the outside looking in, right? It's a good representation of how we're actually capable. I wash my feet. I go to the fitness center. I'm getting ready to get into the hot tub or into the pool. There's showers there. I turn the water and I wash the feet. Isn't it a think different? And is it cleansing of the soul, though? Our graciously Heavenly Father, wash me and cleanse me of my sins and my iniquities. It's good, though, the food for thought. Think about what I'm saying. So how do you assert yourself? How do you praise the condemnation? And the seeking of holiness, who defines holiness? And if it shall be holy, why is there a limitation on it? Is holy not something that is possessive? And it's belonging to God, our Creator and our Savior, our Redeemer? Or is it no more than we fall? These trials, these tribulations, the social awkwardness of, oh my Lord, you have feelings? You actually believe and things should be a certain way? Because you feel you're in tune with your holy Zen? Be floating up in the air, sitting Indian style, hands being held together off to the side. So here are the cymbals, the trumpets, the noisy clanging cymbal. I have all this love, but I have nowhere to go with it. It's a sense of oppression to me and to everybody else that exists within me. Well, I often wonder, and I stumble and I fall, but carelessly, I don't want to condemn, nor do I want to be condemned anymore. So when you find an inequity, when you experience a setback, a twist, a failure, why do you call it dissolution? Dissolution of, I'm dissolving this business. The agreement that I have with you, the marriage, the commitment that I've made to my Creator and my Savior, you call it catechism. A baptismal, right? Very good. Do you accept the terms of this? Very good. Yes, I, of course, I, that's, and I'm shooting to you straight English here. Do you accept these terms? You realize what the value is. This is eternity we're referencing. Glorification within an afterlife. Yes, of course, I understand. Very good. So why do we condemn ourselves and why do we condemn others? Shall we not seek praise or should we not seek to be holy? We can be holy within iniquity. By the way, do you think that there's anybody in this world that can remove iniquity from the world? I have a board of advisors. I haven't talked to them that often. Some of them are my very, very good friends. Very old. Outright stern, if you would. Shoo. Shutting down a straight path. There is no alternative. Failure is not an option. Well, very good. Good morning. I think along these lines. And I ask them, I think, and it's only for food for thought. I don't need to compare apples and oranges, bananas and pears. I don't know if the rotation was right there. Was it colors, shapes, and sizes? I'm not really sure. But I think about it and I ask them, because this is good food for thought. How many of you are capable of living without the thankfulness of sin? How about the forgiveness of sin? Because it's so very valuable. And they reference, what do you mean? Well, you can't live without sin. It's just not, it's outright not possible. If you shall not have heaven, hell will never proceed. And if hell never proceeds, you will never be forgiven. Confession, forgiveness, repentance. So you can be redeemed. Jeez, that's very good. But logically, in theory and thought and concept, it doesn't exist. And does holier than thou means that I should live within some sort of condemnation? Do you think that I should live without? Well, I seek to have pro-life. I expect to multiply. I want to create. This is one of the ways I can experience God. He's given me this gift. I shall not. I shall deprive myself from the gifts that God's given me, and I shall live in shackles and chains because I'm sovereignly giving to a sense of Him and His being and possession within me. Jeez, that sounds like commitment. But the commitment of bondage? Is that holier than thou, though? Where are we going with this? By the way, who are you? What's your name? Where'd you come from? Thank you for joining me. We come to that conclusion. We come to that conclusion. Who are we? Who are we trying to define? Where are we going? What is the logical process within this milestone? When is the next time I can get a sense of relief? I can exhale? Jeez, that was extreme. Hallelujah. It cannot be 24/7 of the upheaving facts of the maternal persons of possession that materialize the sin and make it flesh. Because if sin is only in thought and in word, it is not relevant because your iniquity is built within and it doesn't define you. You are capable of being saved, being redeemed, forgiven because of him through his blood, salvation, incarnation. And I know you're not hanging yourself on a cross. Trust me, it ain't gonna happen. But when it takes form, it maternalizes. You've given it that possession. I act upon it. I've been given it consent, consensual agreement that sin is the overpowering guiding light within my life. Then the incarnation, the salvation, the holiness, the blood, the body, the spirit, the soul, the breath, if you would, the reason why the heart beats, the pulse, is no longer relevant. It shall not be for me, nor can it be for me, that I look to find his iniquity as being my defining factor. So don't praise it. In fact, don't even acknowledge it. Don't make it material. Don't possess it. Don't start acting within it. Excuse me, be tried and true in what he's did for you and embrace that world. If God so loveth you and God is love, life is love. Right? And I think along these lines, we're talking about actually living here. I'm wondering, what limits and what restrictions did he put on you? Are you born into a set of limitations and restrictions? Right? The confinement of trusting in your creator and savior, the one who put breath within your lungs? What limitations did he give you? And if he gave you none, if he still gave you the opportunity to be capable of being thankful in every way, shape, and form, and be capable of making mistakes, because mistakes are blessings, are they not? You still find him at the end of the day? Whew. Boy, that was a long road trip. Where did you go? To BFE. I went way off into the pits of hell, the valley of darkness, as I was concerned, right? I still held the cross with me. I put it across my shoulder. I carried him with me in thought, word, and deed, heart, soul, mind, body, and spirit. But I'm so glad to be back home. Goodness, was it like that? But more than you could ever imagine. I kept asking myself as if there was this biological clock of what? A theological insertion in my mind. Are we there yet? Where were you trying to go? I was trying to make it to heaven. Did you find heaven? The peace and contentment is no more than a sense of acknowledgement of burden, isn't it? If you seek peace and contentment and you're not living life, how could you be happy? And by the way, how could forgiveness, confession, repentance even exist in this world? Nobody is allowed to make any mistakes anymore. It couldn't be relevant. It's only a tool that gets used against us so that we can condemn one another. Oh, very good. By the way, did you take communion? I needed to know how you were living before I told you if you could get the body, the soul, here, the blood, the body. Very good. But they don't hand that out for free. Lord, forgive me. Better pass that dish around. Very good. But it is about giving, isn't it? It's tried and true. It is that testament. I'm capable of intaking and I'm also capable of giving, sowing and reaping. But you mean to tell me I don't actually need to confess? I actually don't even need to be repenting and I don't need to forgive? How come? Because it's not a capability for you to fail. You're not capable. You can't fail. How come, might I ask? Have you heard of Christ? Well, he died because of your sins and your iniquities. They cannot define you. They can't hold you down. They can't drown you. Regardless of what happens, that light will still shine through. You will seek and find his solid foundation. You will be risen, delivered. Yes, indeed. Hallelujah. But we don't believe in it. We hear about it. We see it. Oh, very good. Some of us, we do the Christmas play. We do the scenes, nativity. Very good. Right. It gets played on out. We see it. We watch it. But it doesn't become practical because the actual laboring of the deeds, this walk that I possess, somebody said acts and works. Have you seen these hands and feet? Oh, they're capable. Yeah. See, we don't possess that. How come, though? How come it's not relevant to me? But it shall be relevant to you. But everything that's relevant to me should be a direct reflection of him and what he was capable of doing for us. And by the way, was that a capital H or a lowercase? And when you wrote down son, was it a small s or a big s? And what's the difference? Well, I don't have all day. I don't have all day to dispute some of the facts of the logic and reasoning as to why we are possessive within that world. But I wonder. And you hear me as I confess it. I wonder, why do we live in this world, or does the world live in us? And we're reminded of the Holy Spirit. It is within us. So if it is within us, and our body is the temple, and he put breath within our lungs, my goodness, it shall not be any decision that we ever make that should be outside of the conformity of God. And God did not give you restrictions or limitations. So how dare you, shall you condemn your creator, which is a big part of you, to the conformity of lack of obligation? There was an obligation of acceptance, acceptance of obligation of creature. You mean to tell me you've got feelings? What are they called? We started with love. But that means God. That means true acceptance, unconditionally, no excuses, blameless consent. I don't have a point to prove. Do you think when he hung on the cross and he knew what he was doing? Well, the Father sent me. Remember? Me. What about me? The Father sent me. And I'm doing this for you so that you can be happy. Oh my goodness, I know. Aren't we lucky? Very good. Romans 12:2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. I told you the freedom of will. We're allowed to make those decisions, but to be Christ-like in thought, word, and deed. Boy, that's a tough one. I mean, I don't even own sandals. I don't. I rarely travel. I wanted to. Excuse me. Do not be conformed to this world. How many of us were casting away each and every day? That's all there is. I mean, want me to be holy? Is it Sunday? You want me to give you an hour of faith? A little bit of belief? Sure, I got hope. Oh, it's very good. Compassion, commitment. Yes, very good. Very, very good. It's tried and true. They call it hope, don't they? So I'll give you an example, and I don't want to make it about me, but I want you to reference this, and this is how God works. I have hope, and I know that eternity exists, and I seek him in every enactment, and at my very, very worst, and of course I believe in self-defense, Lord forgive me, but at my very, very worst, I seek to find him in every enactment. I don't need to be worried about anything. But all of a sudden, I thought that I was going to get to have a life, and I called it hope. Here came this emotion, the flesh, the soul, and it got attached to the word, to the topic. I called it hope. Those were the best 2 days of my life. I made commitment to her. I wanted to wed her. I wanted to have children with her. I wanted the life to last forever. I promised her that even after I was gone, that she shall still keep me. But after she shall pass, I go back. I go back to where I came from. Lord, forgive me. I shall return to dust. Forgive me. It's a little bit different. Souls, life, keeping, things along those lines. But that hope was so powerful that for 2 days, I promised I was alive. Out of all these years, forgive me, 2 days, I promised I was alive, that I actually had something to look forward to. Do you know why? Because in my mind, God took form. It created substance. It became eternal. And in my mind, God was real. I was going to get to experience love in every way, shape, and form. I was going to consume intellectually, emotionally, physically, spiritually, intimately, the way you will look, talk, dress, the way that we enact with one another. Come here. Let me hold you near and dear to my heart, soul, and mind. I shall not and cannot afford to lose you. Well, I love you. Forgive me. And that is the exact opposite of what I told you earlier. Notice the love took form. It became flesh. There's more and more opportunities in this world for you to allow God to take flesh, for allowing the holiness, the spirit to live and breathe within you and allowing it to take flesh to where you can follow that course. But the majority of us, and I'm not pointing the finger, trust me, I try to live as blameless as possible. I don't think it's right nor wrong. I'm here with God. I'm somewhere stuck in the middle with you. Think about it. Forgive me. But we use the condemnation of inequity with emotional attachment, and we turn it into flesh. We're bittered, we're battered, we're bruising. There ain't no holy. There is no confession, forgiveness, repentance, and it doesn't exist. And when it comes down to being holy, how do you reference holy? Peaceful, right? And if the only option that is being offered in this world is to be holy, to give thanks within him, and to truly live within the rains, the multitudes of nations, the giving, the fish, the bread, the water, to wine, the body, the blood, the cup, the bread, the cracker, if you would, just a little bit, that mustard seed, that grain of faith, very, very good. Each and every day, your testament to holiness should be, I found another way to find you within my life. And the best thing I had going for me within those 2 days, forgive me, within those 2 days, is that I had found God working within my life. And it was something that I loved. And I knew that I had something to grow on. I knew that I could go from there. I'm building on that foundation. I've got somewhere to go, and I'm thankful and I'm happy about it. Think about what I'm saying. I'm not taking the inequity, the bitterness, the bitter, the bad, and what lies within. Remember the Holy Spirit. But your sin and inequity also lies within. And I'm not maternalizing it. I'm not making it flesh and carrying it with me and being wounded. Holier than thou, if you shall ask. I'm still trying to learn who thou is. If you don't mind me, excuse me. Have a very good day. Hallelujah. Thank you for joining me on another episode of Life or Death Ministries. In this exact episode, I referenced the tried, the true, the weathered might be adequate, might be sufficient, and might suffice for you. But it still needs to go back to your creator. And the possessiveness of actual competence? Well, it's no more than what I lead in and what I believe in. If I shall choose to be restricted and to be limited, it shall be my own cost. And it shall never come at the cost and expense of others. And that very high price, salvation, incarnation, through his blood, yes, we are forgiven, we are redeemed. Yes, indeed. Hallelujah. Let us not take it for granted, but let us continuously rejoice when we find love in every enactment and find love in what we do. Let me close in prayer. I'll mention this, Lord, forgive me. Be sure to follow me on social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and to check out the Buzzsprout site, and you'll see daily updates, prayers, and we're getting to the point where we're going to start hosting Bible study, which is very encouraging, and we can get more specific to some of the topics and issues on how it defines you or how you found grace or you found God, holiness, within your enactment, the vocation of your study. Lord, forgive me. Our gracious Heavenly Father, in Christ our Savior, Redeemer, save us, redeem us, come into our hearts, soul, and minds. As we dig deep within our theory, our reason, our logic, our soul, the substance that we possess, let us be reminded of the gifts that you've given for us and the price that was paid. Each and every day, the walk of enactment is no more than a reminder that the light shines down upon us. And in because of us, we've been given this gift of will, and this will allows us to continue to do thy Father's work, the Creator's, the one, the only, and through your Son, the Shepherd, the Architect, the Savior himself, we are forgiven, we are redeemed. Remember to remind us daily, not somebody else, but our own heart, souls, and minds, and thought, word, and deed, that we need confession, we need repentance, and we need forgiveness. And with that being said, remind us to lead a life that does not have any restrictions or limitations, to live a life worth leading and lead a life worth living with continued grace, knowledge, growth, and all of the love of multitudes of nations that you possess with us. Continue to love us and guide us and forgive us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.